That's right, it's me. And I think you and I will both agree this morning, as we just discussed this matter with ourselves, that you must have food if you're going to live. I mean, basically, the human body is like an engine with a battery. And batteries require water. They require minerals. I think the human body requires sunlight to charge your solar battery. And you're going to require the earth. And somebody really wants to talk badly, so I will answer the phone call. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
I do want to hear. Let me get my radio.
Yeah, just slightly turn that down and we'll be good. Did you get your radio off?
I got it off. Okay. I do want to hear what you got to say about the eating, but I've got a question about my arthritis that is killing me. Just came on me.
Do I need to come to the funeral home today as you start the process of checking out?
If you knew what arthritis was, you would be on your way.
I think you're right. I'm right there with you, so I'm motivated to help.
Okay, very good. Appreciate it. It was started in my hip and my joint. I had a MRI, and they showed me the arthritis in there. So they gave me a shot of cortisone, put me to sleep, gave me a shot of cortisone in the hip joint, at the ball joint. Now, it has moved. I won't say it. But it's my knees now. I can't hardly get around because of my knees. Now, my question is, the only thing I'm taking is pain relief over the counter. I want to know what your thoughts are. I think I know. Ibuprofen, acetaminophen, NSAIDs for pain. What else could I do? Other than that, I don't like taking.
You know, pain. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but the problem with all those drugs you just mentioned, they don't do a lick to address the problem or the reason why you have the arthritis.
That's right.
And almost all the studies show now that when you take those, you're only one thing is going to happen. You're going to hasten the worsening or the furtherance of the arthritis, which means it gets worse when you take them. All right, enough of that stuff right there.
Okay.
Let me give you two or three ideas, and you just kind of sort through these and categorize them in your own brain.
Okay.
There's a type of a substance called urate or uric acid.
Yes.
And personally, this is only my observation, but if I saw a person walk in my door, or what I should say is come in on a stretcher or a wheelchair, if they had gout, I have told myself, Roy, if there's one form of arthritis you do not want to have, young man, it is gout. I mean, it looks like it is absolutely the most brutal, painful form of arthritis. And so, here goes.
Yes.
Black tea is the highest source of uric acid. Pork is number two. The more sugar or carbohydrates that a human being ingests, the more that these crystals form in the joints. It's really just a question of which joint has had a previous injury or some type of an issue. So that's where the uric acid tends to accumulate. Under a microscope, they look literally like shards of glass. So that may kind of explain to you that when you move, actually, when you sit on the floor with your grandkids with your legs bent Indian style, and then you try to get up off the floor, you're probably screaming in pain, aren't you?
Right. Yes, exactly.
So you've got to understand that what's happened is we've overwhelmed the body with too much acidic debris that forms crystals. And these crystals, when they form in the joints, they literally look like broken. Remember the Coke bottles from the 1970s, how thick the glass was?
Yeah.
Did you ever stop and get a Coke that was 6.5 ounces?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think you can find one that's 6.5 ounces anymore. But anyway, you've got these shards of glass in your joints, and we got to get rid of them. And so you got an experiment. You can go to the doctor. You can say, could you measure my uric acid levels?
Okay.
I would say if your uric acid levels are around 2.5 or below, you're in good shape. If they're probably around 5 and above, you're asking for arthritis and pain. And so some of the ways you can do that is you can try taking celery seed extract to reduce the uric acid crystals. If you told me, I really want to eat something sweet, I'd say, great, let me help you with that. I'm going to recommend you eat some dark, pitted, tart cherries because they have a compound that helps dissolve those uric acid crystals. They really do. So you could eat cherries for dessert instead of eating cake and cookies. The next thing, there's a substance called oxalate. If a person has a calcium deposit or a bone spur on their finger joint, you know, where the finger is bent and malformed because of the arthritic development or the calcium deposit, they're almost always made of a substance called calcium oxalate. Or if a person had the very unfortunate misfortune of experiencing multiple kidney stones, I think I told you the story one time, but Tom walks in my office and he's got this pronounced scowl on his face. I said, "What's wrong?" And he didn't even talk to me. He goes straight to the restroom. Yeah. He's in there for 10 minutes, and I'm thinking, what is going on with him? Is he okay? You know, I thought about knocking on the door, but I said, no, I'm going to leave him alone. He's got a reason. And then he comes out of the bathroom, and I said, what, are you okay? And he didn't say anything. He walks out to his pickup, and he gets one of those retractable, you know how you can push the button on those flexible wands, and a little claw comes out, like if you drop a nut or a bolt, and you're trying to grab it down low in the engine or something?
Yes.
Well, he gets one of those. I said, Tom, what are you going to do with that? He said, I'm getting my kidney stone out. I said, out of where? He said, it was in the porcelain toilet bowl, and he wanted to fetch it. But I bet you he has passed literally 400 kidney stones. That would be misery.
Yes.
And so what you do is you start avoiding foods that are high in oxalate, and usually the biggest ones are going to be spinach and almonds. And so, like anything else, maybe what I should say is every one of us is unique. If I eat exactly the same foods that you do, I'm probably not going to have arthritis. But I can tell you, you're eating something that's contributing to this.
That's what I think, too, yes.
Well, there's no way around it. I mean, if I had 100 people to experiment on as guinea pigs, wait, that didn't sound too good. Let me start over. But if I had 100 people and they said, all right, tell us what the issues are. For some people, they may have just a really, really severe deficiency in what are called fat-soluble vitamins. And so one of those fat-soluble vitamins that I like to think of is called vitamin K2. And so one of the roles of vitamin K2 is to make sure that you don't get this calcification that builds up in the joints. Instead, rather, K2 helps shuttle it or transport it like a taxi cab driver into the bones and the teeth where it belongs.
Yes.
So anytime that you have a tissue in the body that stays chronically inflamed, guess what's going to happen? Your body is going to calcify it. If your pancreas is chronically inflamed for years and years, if not decades, there's going to be some calcification. If you've had multiple bouts of pneumonia and they take an x-ray of your lungs and it looks like stones are in the bottom of your lungs, those are called calcified lymph nodes. That's old infection.
Yeah.
So anything that your body, if it stays inflamed, you're going to calcify it. If it's a lining of your arteries of your heart called the coronaries, guess what? They're going to show up with calcification. So we've got to stop that process. So I would say richer, more therapeutic amounts of vitamin K2 is on call here. The other thing is your body needs water. Just give me your best guess here. How much water covers the earth? What is the percentage of water that covers the surface of the earth versus land?
3/5, 4/5.
Yeah, let's just say it that way. I'm going to shoot in between those two numbers and say 70-75%. I don't have to look at it. Now that you put me on the spot, I don't even know the answer to my own question. But your body is probably about 70-75% water. So when you start dipping below 70%, that's dehydration. And I can tell you, that's where I see almost all the arthritic problems when a person's not getting enough water. Personally, I think the kidneys are weak, or there wouldn't be arthritis to begin with.
Mm.
And so if you avoid oxalates, you probably don't even eat spinach or kale, do you?
I eat spinach.
How often?
Not very often. It would be in the months, 3 months. Probably.
Do you eat much, and believe me, Roy will not be casting stones towards you today, but do you eat much sugar or starch or carbohydrates?
No. I've listened to you. I eat my bacon and eggs in the morning, every morning. I drink a lot of water daily. I take the K2, your recommendations, and the others that you recommended. So I don't know what my problem is.
Well, do you eat many tomatoes or white potatoes or peppers?
No, I do eat potatoes. Not a great amount, but I do eat white potatoes.
Well, do you drink any tea at all?
No.
Okay. Well, there's still an issue there. Even though I can't solve it easily over the radio, it's there nonetheless. And so if you're doing all these things and you still have significant arthritis, do you take fish oil every day?
No.
Fish oil is what all cell membranes are made of, whether it's the cell that forms cartilage in your joint between your knuckles or you're in your hip bone, that ball and socket joint, or a skin cell. You've got to have a certain amount of fish oil to make the body work right. We just require fat. That's why they're called essential fatty acids.
Okay.
So that's one simple thing that you could add. The other thing that I always find amazing is I've had a... If you have, like, very, very significant hip pain that you want to go away, I'm just telling you what my gut instinct here is. I bet you anything, 90-plus percent of the time, I didn't say 100%, but 90% of the time, these are all mechanical problems, which means I could give you all the supplements in the world, I could give you the very best diet, but if you have mechanical dysfunction within the joint, you have, and there's a lot of ways you can say this, you could say muscles on the front are too weak, and when it comes to that ball and socket joint, it is really easy for me to look at muscles like the gluteus medius and the hip flexors, whether you call it the iliacus or the psoas or the iliopsoas. Those muscles are never working right with hip joint problems. And so you've got to, that's why you can start the process of doing a stretching regimen. I think I've mentioned before on the radio that if you look at all the different treatments that are used in the world currently to manage very, very severe pain, usually yoga practitioners, they're at the top of the list as far as being the most effective on patient surveys. I didn't say doctor surveys because they're not going to agree to any of that stuff. They're going to say, oh, no, are you kidding me? Let's put him to sleep and give him cortisone. That's the therapy we prefer.
Right.
But if you would just prayerfully consider, maybe we need to start getting on YouTube and type in severe hip pain, what do I do? And what if you tried the exercises or the stretches they recommend? You said, this is too hard, it's too difficult, my body won't do it. To me, that's a sure indication something's not working right.
Sure.
So if you're going to regain your ability for those muscles to fire properly, then that's your ticket to getting out of pain.
Okay.
Gordon Waslow, at one time, was the world's greatest orthopedic surgeon. And he summed it up simply by saying, the key to pain is restoring function. That means get what's broken working right again. And you can do that through a system of stretches and exercises and even body weight calisthenics. You've got to regain the ability to move that hip properly so it learns not to hurt. So just like the body can learn to hurt, you can make it learn or unlearn to hurt.
And and along with that, being a couch potato like I have been.
Well, no one's coming down hard on you. All of us have probably sat down way too much. My job all day long is probably sitting. So who am I to talk? But in this situation, you want to be pain-free, so I would... you know what? I think I told you that story. Back in the middle 90s, I had so much severe pain in my back. I actually went and applied for jobs doing something else for a living, and I'm not going to tell you what I applied to do because you could say, are you kidding me? Really? And I'm going to say, yeah. But I couldn't turn over in bed at night without propping myself up with my arms and my elbows and scooting and shifting my hips because the pain was too great just to turn over in bed. I couldn't do it.
Yes.
It almost makes me sound like a crybaby wimp. I don't think I am. But what I did was I was in Walmart one day, and there was a magazine on the front cover. There was a picture of a man by the name of Mark Verstegen. And Mark Verstegen had just come out with this book called Core Performance. C-O-R-E, and then the word performance. And so I said, you know what? I've tried just about everything. I've tried every treatment they can give me. I've tried all the supplements. I mean, I literally have access to any and every supplement you can think of. I do.
Yeah.
I have like 1,000 people calling me all the time saying, would you try this product or that one? And so I tried this program, and it's just a system. And you know what? He had like 12 sets of exercises. I never got beyond the one called prehab and stretching. I never even got to the exercises. That's kind of pathetic, isn't it? But you know what? After about 3.5 to 4 weeks, I was completely pain-free.
I can believe it.
Completely. But you know what? I didn't have any results for the first 3 weeks. So, you know, there's a time and a place where you just got to have faith, and you got to be patient, and you got to press on even though you're afflicted. And with your pain, you are afflicted.
Yes.
I'm not saying God's afflicting you. I did not say that. But we have to apply the right treatment for the problem, and restoration of function is it. So when I did those first two chapters, it was actually chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Core Performance by Mark Verstegen, that put me in a state of being pain-free, even to this day. Mm. Now, I never said that I was mentally balanced. I was just talking about musculoskeletal problems, man.
I hear you. I'm right with you there.
And so even, I mean, if you get on YouTube today, it is endless, the number of videos. You could type in, you could literally type in, what are the exercises or stretches or routines for severe, severe arthritic pain? Because a study was done years ago, and they asked the simple question, if somebody has very severe arthritis that limits them on every level of life, are they better off resting, or are they better off plowing through and exercising even though it hurts?
Yeah, I wonder that. I'll
well, you know what? You know what the answer is?
No.
You're far better off running and jogging than doing nothing.
Yeah,
I know that sounds crazy, but how else are you going to get the body to adapt?
No pain, no gain. Sometimes.
No pain, no gain.
Yeah. Yeah,
have you ever heard of the very severe condition called post-traumatic stress disorder?
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, the world's foremost expert on that, he's probably in his middle 90s about now. You know what he says? He says there's another condition that goes along with it. It's called post-traumatic growth. And so that's a very positive spin on that. So I read what he had to say about that. He said, you may not believe what I'm saying, but sometimes out of this severe pain comes incredible transformation and growth, spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
Yeah.
Of course, you know what I want to think of. I want to think of Job in the Old Testament. Oh, my word. How much can a man take? That's more than I think I would have been done from day one.
No, I would have.
So there's a way through this. And I want to be helpful and supportive of you, but if I had my way, I'd have you go outside right now and just wade down in the lake and just stand there for about 10 minutes up to your hips.
That's in the sand barefoot. That's one of yours.
That's right. Well, that's the way you charge your electric batteries. It really is.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't want to do that, you can spend about $20,000 on an electronic device that mimics the electromagnetic field of the Earth, but why do that when you could just get it for free?
That's right. That's
I'm going to challenge you to start walking barefoot everywhere, even to church tomorrow morning.
I'm afraid they would not let me do that.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a black mark slot and we're going to draw shoes on top of your feet, and that way they'll think you're wearing shoes. They won't even notice.
Okay. I'm not going to keep you any longer.
All right. Thanks for your phone call, buddy.
Thank you very much, Dr.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hello, folks. I'm Dr. Morgan. The phone number is 903-586-5257. There's a lot of confusion. I get this question frequently off the air. No one's asked it to me on the air. But they always ask me the same thing. They say, Dr. Morgan, how can I gain weight? What can I do to really plump up? And so I'm going to try to answer that right now. In the year 1957, John Hanning Speck and Richard Burton, and I'm just reading this to you. This is history from a history book. They set off through West Africa to search for the source of the Nile River. After Burton fell ill, Speck went on to discover the river's origin on his own. When he returned to the region 5 years later, according to his memoirs, he heard about the custom of a local Abyssinian nobility to fatten their wives to such an extent that they could not stand upright. And I guess this was a practice that was done for royalty because it was just very, very pleasing to the human eye to fatten up your wife. So he went to see for himself. And I'm quoting, "There was no mistake about it," he recalled. "On entering the hut, I found the old man and his chief wife sitting side by side on a bench, and I was struck with the extraordinary dimensions, yet pleasing beauty, of the immoderately fat, fair one, his wife. She could not rise, and so large were her arms that between the joints the flesh hung down like large, loose stuffed puddings." 2 weeks later, when Speke visited another one of those wonders of obesity, he took the opportunity to measure her. and she agreed. Her chest was 52 inches around. Her arms were nearly 2 feet in circumference, and her thighs over 2.5 feet. The traditional Japanese diet. This comes from the year 1972, a survey. A researcher by the name of Nishizawa, he reported in 1972 by the Ministry of Health and Welfare, the average Japanese diet consists of, and just get this, 359 grams of carbohydrates, 50.1 grams of fat, and 82.9 grams of protein. That's a total of 2,279 calories a day. And the reason I say that is because usually Japanese people are quite lean. I don't really know that I've seen, I don't even think I've seen any overweight Japanese people, except for a very special martial art that's from Japan called sumo wrestlers. Well, the sumo wrestlers of Japan, their weight commonly, well, if you go back, I mean, can you figure out that carbohydrates are broken down into sugar? And if the average Japanese person is consuming 359 grams of carbohydrates, 50 grams of fat, and 82 grams of protein, well, this ain't rocket science. The vast majority of their calories come from carbohydrates or sugar, and then protein, and then fat. So this is probably a pretty low-fat diet, right? The sumo wrestlers of Japan, whose weight commonly exceeds 300 pounds, they typically reach that level by their early 20s. In 1976, a University of Tokyo collaboration led by Tsuno Mishiwaza, he published an article in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition that still constitutes the most comprehensive analysis in the English medical literature of the sumo diet, their body composition and their health. In which, I don't know if you know this, folks, but usually if you're a championship sumo wrestler, you usually make it to the ripe old age of, what, 45.9 or 46 years of age. So being a sumo wrestler does not go hand in hand with longevity, folks. You're not going to make it to like 100 years of age if you're a sumo. Anyway, he says the world of professional sumo wrestling, according to Nishizawa, is divided into an upper group, and the upper group constituting the best wrestlers in the country, and then there's a lower group. Now, the members of the upper, and get this, this is crazy here. The members of the upper group consumed on average 5,500 calories worth of pork stew a day. I think the Japanese word for pork stew is chonkonabe, out of which they were getting 780 grams of carbohydrates, 100 grams of fat, and a whopping 365 grams of protein. Oh, my word. Of course, this is more than double the calories of carbohydrates a typical Japanese diet consumed. And so they had about 4.5 times the amount of protein. So carbohydrates were 57% of the diet, fat was 16% of the diet, and protein's the rest. Do the math on that. It seems that if we want to design a diet capable of inducing pathological obesity in young men in their prime, we might just start off with just such a very low-fat, high-carbohydrate diet. This diet would provide an enormous amount of calories, which might be the salient factor. But then we would have to wonder, what is it about this dietary composition that allows for such extraordinary overconsumption for not just a few days, but for years or decades? Well, you already know what the point is. Any time that you start shoveling carbohydrates in front of a person, it makes them hungrier. They want to overeat. That is not true if you wake up in the morning and you have 3 eggs over easy that were like lightly fried in butter or coconut oil. Hasn't your mother ever told you, eat eggs for breakfast, they stick to your bones? Well, you know what she means. She means when you eat those, they're satiating, they're satisfying. They tend to cause a chain of chemical reactions where you don't feel like you're constantly craving something else. Anyway, there's a phone line open if you want to call me. 903-586-5257. Sorry, I had a hard time pushing the button. I'm with you now. Welcome to the program.
Okay, I'm now having to get iron naturally and quickly. I'm down to a 7.
I'm having a really hard time hearing what you're saying.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but is your mouth right there by the phone?
I think it's better now.
Okay. Now go ahead. What are we talking about?
My iron's down to a 7, and I was trying to eat a lot of spinach to get it back up, and they said it wasn't going back up quick, so they gave me pills, and they don't want to stay down.
Okay. Probably because the pills are nothing but rusty metal. Do you know what the iron is made of? Is it like ferrous sulfates?
I don't know.
We might be better off just taking some old rusty nails from a horseshoe nail on a fence post and grinding them up and having you eat those. I'm just joking. I don't want you to do that. So do you? But you're saying that you're anemic, right?
Yes, in October I was pregnant and they did a blood check and they said I was anemic and I tried to up it naturally and I lost the baby in November.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm thinking it could have been in spindle low iron.
Oh,
so
dear.
I had a test a couple of days ago and it's at a 7.
Okay, well that's really, really low. Did they by chance do what's called a ferritin rate or ferritin?
I have no idea.
Does your doctor do a really good job of explaining to you the results of the blood test?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, does the doctor sit down and go over each point of the blood test with you to tell you what the significance is and what those numbers mean?
No.
Oh, well, goodness. I'm so sorry about that. Okay. Can I have a go with this, pretty please?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to say this kind of straightforward. I would say, as a general rule, if a woman is anemic and she's low in iron, the more sugar or carbohydrates that she eats, the harder it is to get the iron to come back up. So the reverse of that would be eating foods that are very rich in iron. So I'm really not trying to make a joke by saying this, but the highest source of iron comes from buffalo, which I seriously doubt you have wild buffalo roaming in your backyard, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just a guess. I mean, maybe you do. But do you like to eat meat?
Yes.
What is your favorite meat?
Any.
What'd you say?
Any meat. I don't know. I just...
Well, the darker the meat, the more iron it has. So if you were to have a boneless, skinless chicken breast, there's really not much iron to speak of or to talk about there. So let's solve this mystery right here. If I could compel you to consider going to the health food store today or to the grocery store and purchasing a substance called unsulfured black strap molasses. This is going to be a very, very good source of iron. It's food-based. But if you can take the unsulfured black strap molasses, you're not going to call me on the phone in 30 minutes and say, "Hey, you sabotaged me, Dr. Morgan. It's coming back up just like those iron pills." That is not going to happen. Your body's going to be so agreeable to it because it's made of food. God made it. Your body's going to fall in love with that stuff. But you're going to get heme iron when you eat red meat of any kind. So if that's elk or from a cow or from buffalo, that's going to be one of the best ones you can consume. Now, is there any chance that you've had any type of infection in the last 6 or 7 months?
Well,
that probably wouldn't do it, but you haven't had, like, projectile diarrhea or vomiting or anything, have you?
No.
Well, if you would be willing to take about a tablespoon or so of the unsulfured blackstrap molasses a day, I think your body will just drink up that iron and put it to use right away. Now, any time that iron is low, I think this is a pretty good call to start giving natural B vitamins and vitamin C to a woman. And I think you'll tell me that you absorb the iron so much better. Now, are you prone to having any stomach problems like severe bloating or burping or belching or poor digestion?
I don't think so.
I bet your body's going to really take to that black strap molasses. Have you ever tried it before?
Yes.
What do you think?
It's pretty good.
Good girl. What a great attitude you have. If you did that, the one thing that's going to block the absorption of iron in you is going to be, is a substance called phytates, and phytates are going to come from bread.
Okay.
Do you eat much bread?
No, I don't. Okay. I mean, I try not to, but that's sliced bread, but it's mm-hmm. another thing, you know.
Do you have a lot of energy?
No, I have none.
You feel like you're kind of running on fumes right now?
Yes.
So if you get up to cook breakfast for the kids, it's by sheer force of will, right?
Yes.
Do you need a vacation?
Yes.
Okay, you can get a first-class ticket to Alaska. Wait, no, that's the wrong direction. That's too cold up there. Well, if I had my way, there is a hormone that's produced by the kidneys. It's called EPO, or erythropoietin. And see, your kidneys make that stuff anytime that your iron is low, or your blood is low, or your blood's just, you're a bit anemic. And if you took a vacation for 30 minutes to a sauna, I don't know if you have any friends that have a steam sauna, or an infrared sauna, or a dry sauna, but the research on it is so intriguing. If you took 30 minutes from your busy schedule and went into a sauna, you can even buy a portable one for like $60 if you wanted to, the heat stimulates the kidneys to start making more erythropoietin, and that stimulates your body to grow more blood cells. And so we just need to give enough chemical messages. So that's one idea. I was really joking about going to Alaska. That's probably not probable. Although you might like to go halibut and salmon fishing later this afternoon, right?
No.
I would like to see a glacier fall into the bay. Or a whale come up to the surface. You may not believe me, but I read the story of Jonah this morning. And the last verse that I read, it says, "And the Lord caused the great fish to vomit Jonah up onto the dry ground." And I kind of thought to myself, Jonah's probably going, okay, there's something happening here. This feels weird. And all of a sudden, he's being catapulted like a cannon at the circus. I mean, how does that work where the fish can just vomit a human being up on dry ground? I'm thinking it was probably from 100 yards out. What do you guess?
As long as I'm out.
Well, here's what I'd do if it were me. If I could convince you to focus on eating vegetables and fruit, but the best fruits for you right now are the ones that are going to be from the family called berries. So if you love the idea of eating cherries and strawberries and raspberries and blackberries and blueberries, I think that's going to be very, very safe for you. And I would probably give you just very rich vegetables that are high in sulfur. That usually includes things like broccoli and cabbage, cauliflower, kale, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, which are, I love them. Not everybody does. Some people run when I talk about Brussels sprouts. But if you would put butter on all those, what will happen is you'll absorb more nutrients from them. And so if I can convince you to put a pat of butter on each serving of vegetables on your plate, you're going to absorb more nutrients from them. You'll get a lot more iron. And if you cooked a ribeye steak, put butter all over it, and you will extract more iron from it that way. So that's one of the simple tricks that you can try, is just adding fat to the food that you're eating. Do you like butter?
Love it.
When you say love, do you mean agape love or phileo love? I'm joking. Never mind. So if you will, just consider adding butter to everything that you eat. And I think that what will happen is your body will start to bounce back. But if you don't have a sauna, I think we have no choice. We're going to have to make you take a hot bath every day.
I will certainly try that.
You're probably thinking, oh, darn, 20 minutes to myself. How can I stand it?
Yes. Away from the six kids.
Okay, good. Well, let me know if that helps.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm rooting for you. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. 903-586-5257. Here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I just came in and and at the very end of what you was talking to the lady about, you mentioned bloating and belching. And all my life, I was a little tiny girl, but I would bloat after every meal like a child from Ethiopia. It was bloating so bad. As an adult, every time I eat, now, even though I'm not the tiniest twig in the world anymore, I still continue to bloat. And I was wondering what you were saying about the blackstrap molasses.
Well, that was specifically because she's got an iron deficiency, and her iron levels are real, real low. And so I wanted to give her something that was just very dense from the food world. And so that's what I was recommending. But as far as bloating goes, I've got an experiment for you.
Okay.
There's a type of a herbal remedy that you can pick up at the health food store. Where do you live?
Palestine?
Mm-hmm. Is that Anderson County?
Yes.
Would you say people are much more intelligent there in Palestine than they would be in Frankston?
I don't know anybody in Frankston, but if you're from Anderson County, you're extremely intelligent.
Well, that's where I'm from. I was just testing you since I graduated from high school from Frankston. I'm just teasing.
They always have this, I went to Tyler yesterday, they have this old-fashioned looking hardware store that's got the old metal benches, gliders like my grandparents used to have, and I say, I'm going to stop there when I come back. I don't have time now, I've got to stop there when I come back.
I drove by there the other night, and they're still open. It was just about 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm
probably
telling
like
you.
6:55.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to have those.
Now, is that the one called Burke's Hardware?
I don't know what it is. I can't remember what it's called.
But you're talking about the one. You're coming from Palestine to Frankston right before the light. It's just right there on
the
right. Yeah, right across from the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay, we're on the same page.
But if you're from Anderson County,
I know. But you know what? I guess you and I are probably coming across as a little bit arrogant. But anyway, never mind.
That's all right.
No, God made us all. You know,
God gave us our faults as well as our blessings, so we have to thank Him for both.
You know, in Romans 12, some people are given the gift of prophecy. That is not my gift. And some people are given the gift of encouragement. Now, I might be a little bit more attuned to that. Or I would say I have the gift of service because I just like that. I want to do it.
I believe I have the gift of service.
Yeah.
I don't have the gift of prophecy because I will find out too late when I'm making a mistake.
I think that's called being omnipotent. I tell you what, I remind myself, or I think it's good to remind myself, that God has all the answers, He has all the power, and He has all the solutions.
I just have to continually drive down the road and say, I know that your way of thinking is not my way of thinking. I know your way of doing things is not my way of doing things. But I'm not getting the message, and I need like neon lights from Las Vegas to tell me what you want me to do.
Well, it's just found right there in the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, you could probably build a case that if you read Romans chapter 12, it has so many answers in there to life's questions.
Well, I may have to do that this morning as I finish talking to you.
That's my gentle encouragement.
I can get you. But I just rolled over and went back to sleep.
Well, I'll tell you what, give me your cell phone number over the air, and we'll call you every morning.
I could do that, honestly, because I live in the black hole of Calcutta in Anderson County. You can't get a cell signal. I called to get internet. They said they ran out. CenturyLink actually told me that.
Is there actually a town called
internet.
Calcutta?
Well, we ran out. I even called the co-op that I get my electricity from, Houston County Electric Co-op. I said, I just found out that y'all offer internet. Yes, but we ran out. We're not taking any more new customers.
The neighbor behind me told me there's a large panther that has eaten several of the neighbor's dogs.
Huh?
And that's in Anderson County, so they have wild, wild beasts there.
I will tell you, right down the street road from where I'm living right now, my aunt and I live in my grandmother's house, grandparents' house that they bought in 68, but my aunt and uncle built a house in 1968 right down the road. And my cousins, they were probably 7 and 8 years and 9 years older than me, but as teenagers, the Black Panther, it was seen by more than one family member. Come up to the window, and you know how they open their mouth and go make that sound. Needless to say, that family was, and mine is a true believer that out out in the old Boston Road, Camp Hill area, there are black panthers.
Oh, I believe.
Or at least one.
Well, where there's one, there's probably two, right?
Okay. Well, it's very old. Probably doesn't have any teeth anymore. I don't know.
Well, that's why you need to put baby food out on your back porch so they can kind of go through it.
Just feeding the dogs. I bring every raccoon. And
I have a feeling that in that realm of the animal kingdom, once the teeth are gone, they're pretty much their life is over pretty quick.
Well.
Because without teeth, how can a big cat chew and crush
you? You never know.
You know what? I read the story. I know this is a total waste of your time, but I thought it was so intriguing. But in California, there was a woman that was on her bicycle, and they had spotted this wild cougar. It was a male that had a very bad attitude, and she was riding along, and I think she had a friend that was maybe some ways behind her. I don't know if it's 200 yards. Anyway, she's riding along, and this big male cat jumps her. She doesn't see him coming, and he sinks his teeth in the back of her neck.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's got his paws on her face. And so every time the cat is trying to reposition, you know, his tooth, he's trying to come around to the front of the neck because she's fighting, she's hitting at him, and the panther keeps trying to readjust the bite, and he bites half of her face off, and she feels the flesh drop to the ground. And then she says the phrase that I love more than any other. She says, "Help me, Jesus." That was what she cried out. And she started fighting, but that tells me she believes that God's going to come to her aid.
Oh, yes.
And this panther's working his right way around to the front of her neck where he can do that, you know, where they strangulate the animal and they suffocate him. But he's on this woman, and all of a sudden her friend comes up on her, and she grabs her leg, and she says, "I am not letting go of your leg under any circumstances." And they start kicking and hitting the panther. But this woman, she is just cut to a bloody pulp, but they make the panther run off. And they were able to reattach her face and sew her together. But she has no post-traumatic stress disorder. She feels like the Lord came to her aid. But isn't that incredible bravery of a friend that says, "I will not leave you"?
Oh, yes.
Anyway, back to your story. There are several things that you can try very, very easily.
Okay.
And I'm just going to spell these out for you.
All right.
Number one. If you go to the health food store in Palestine, they probably have a substance called herbal bitters. Sometimes they're called Angora bitters, or they're called Swedish bitters. But you've got nothing to lose by trying those.
So they're called Angora or...
Herbal bitters.
Or herbal bitters, okay.
Sometimes they're called Swedish bitters. Those are three different names they can go by.
All right.
If you take these before you eat, and it can be... Sometimes they're like in a gel cap, or they're in a liquid form... And you just take like a little shot of it.
Okay.
If you take that before your meal, you might tell me all of a sudden everything's going really, really well and all the bloating calms down.
Okay.
Because those stimulate digestive juices and acid secretions, and just a lot of good things happen with just a little gentle nudge from those herbal bitters.
Okay.
The other thing that some people do is they'll take like maybe a teaspoon of honey with just a small dash of cinnamon and some apple cider vinegar and a little bit of water, and they'll sip that little toddy or cocktail before they eat their meal, and that's enough to stimulate it. Some people do good with lemon juice before a meal.
Okay, one teaspoon of honey, the ACV, and what did you say?
Just a little bit of water to dilute it.
Oh, the water.
And you could even put like a little splash of cinnamon.
It's just the honey and the apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
Well, I did not know when I first started trying the apple cider vinegar thing that you were supposed to dilute it. So I put about, I don't know, 2 ounces or 3 ounces or something in this little measuring cup that was clear, that had your ounces and your teaspoons and stuff on it. I'm telling you what.
No, you did the right thing, I promise you.
I'm telling
you. Pure apple cider vinegar will drive the evil spirits deep from your body out of it.
I sucked in air, and I didn't know if I was going to...
Oh, my word.
How I was ever going to be able to breathe out again. And I thought to myself, all this promotion about apple cider vinegar, and they find me dead on the kitchen floor with the Anchor Hawking ounce measure and a bottle of apple cider vinegar on the...
You tell me, which one would have...
It sucked the life out of me.
What would have been worse, apple cider vinegar or pure Tabasco sauce? About the same?
I breathed in so rapidly and so fiercely, I couldn't breathe out.
I think if you would be willing to start your morning before you do anything else, drink a large glass of water. And then I would wait about an hour or two before you even try to eat. But if you would take the herbal bitters prior to that, tell me if there's a significant improvement in how you digest your food, if there's a lot less bloating and swelling.
All right.
Good. All right.
The other also, you can take the the honey and the apple cider vinegar.
You can.
Before you eat your meal, in case I happen to be somewhere where I don't have my bitters or something.
So what have we learned today? Dilute the apple cider vinegar with water.
Yeah, and ask Jesus to help you when you're being attacked by a lion, and hope your friend will still hold on to your leg.
Well, I tell you what, if you come over to the house and there's a panther, I'm going to come to your aid.
I figure if anybody calls out to help me, Jesus, I'm going to hang on no matter what.
I would too.
Okay, and what was the significance of the, I've heard you say this before, of the sulfur-based vegetables, the broccoli, the cabbage, the Brussels sprouts, cauliflower?
Well, it's kind of complicated, but let me say it this way. Almost all the cells in our body, well, I'm making it complicated. That's the reason it's complicated, because I'm making it complicated. I'm sorry about that. Our bodies require sulfur to be strong. You've got to have sulfur. Just like the battery on your car requires what's called sulfuric acid to hold a charge and generate electricity. Okay. Our bodies do too, and I find that most people, they are so deficient in the element sulfur, they can't make enough energy.
Okay.
And so when you actually expose your skin to sunlight, I did not say that would be happening today.
Yes.
Maybe tomorrow, but not today probably. What you're doing is you're generating energy. And so you got to think of yourself as like a solar battery.
Yes.
If you try to live your life without any sunlight or fresh air or water or minerals or walking barefoot on the ground, I'd say, good luck to you, but it ain't going to happen. So we're trying to turn all this around. I want you to have more strength and more energy. So you get sulfur when you eat eggs and when you eat onions and you have garlic and broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower. Those are all sulfur-rich foods. And the anti-sulfur foods, the ones that deplete the sulfur, is almost always just sugar and wheat. Modern wheat, I should say. Genetically modified wheat. That destroys sulfur on contact.
Okay, so if you're low in vitamin D, that when you go outside, that would help you with the generating the energy and help you with vitamin D. But is there something you can do on the inside of the house when it's stays like this?
Yeah, you probably have to take some vitamin D.
Okay,
back in the late 1950s when they first started studying cholesterol, the only form of cholesterol they studied was called cholesterol sulfate.
Uh-huh.
And they found a very interesting phenomenon. When somebody had Alzheimer's or severe dementia, or if a young child had very severe autism, they would almost always find they had no cholesterol sulfate. And so where you have rich cholesterol with sulfur, you have a very precise memory and a good mental function.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for
your time.
I enjoy your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for your call today. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you would like to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. 903-586-5257. There's a phone line open. If not, when I looked up the very diet that they used to fatten the chief's princess or queen, it was basically milk and cereal in a form called sorghum. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Morgan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for your phone call.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, you're welcome.
I've got a granddaughter, and she's about 15, and she has, I believe what my daughter says, is eczema around the mouth and the back of her neck and stuff like that. And my daughter is one of these that doesn't want to take her to the doctor. You know, so I was wondering what we could do to help my granddaughter.
How old was she when she developed the eczema?
She was maybe a year old. In fact, a lot of her, she got several kids, and so most of them have had eczema during their, at one time or another. Sometimes it flares up, sometimes it doesn't.
Do you remember before she had eczema, when you would hold her in your arms and you looked at the back of her neck, did you ever see like a, it almost looks like a little bit of a purple wine stain on the back of the skull?
No, no.
Does she have any blue blood vessels going across the bridge of her nose right now?
No.
Okay. Well, whether I say eczema or psoriasis or vitiligo, those are probably the three most common autoimmune diseases of the skin.
Right.
And, you know, I guess the word autoimmune means self, the immune system turning on itself.
Right.
And
right.
So there's always a trigger. And so let me give you an idea. I would venture a guess that maybe 80%, let's just take that loosely, maybe it's 89% or,
yeah.
or 75, but still it's a big number. When you introduce dairy or dairy proteins, and so there's a dairy protein called casein, and there's another protein called lactalbumin. Those are found in cow's milk. You do not find those in goat's milk. So if you had, if she eats goat cheese or goat butter or goat milk, there's no lactalbumin and there's no casein. But casein and lactalbumin, they have a very high correlation to trigger a chain of events that generate eczema in girls.
Right.
And so is there any chance that she eats any cow products, whether it's cheese or milk?
She's eating, she's drinking some milk. There's some cows out there that don't produce something that's in the milk. I forget what she told me about it.
Well, maybe they're the A2 cows. They're
right.
More desirable. Right.
Right.
But
that's
still, they still have lactalbumin and casein. And so,
okay.
And I know this is just a very simple idea, but you know what? If we can get her skin beautiful and radiant and clean without giving her powerful drugs, I say let's do that.
Oh, yeah.
And so usually the and this is just information right here, but the number one predictor of how a girl tolerates milk is going to be the type of flora or microbes that are in her gut. And so sometimes you could build a case of giving a person probiotics. I'm trying to think. There's a company in Houston. They make enzymes to help digest milk proteins.
Right.
Sometimes that's all you have to do is just take a you have to take an enzyme that helps break down lactalbumin and casein. And then all of a sudden the milk is not poisonous anymore.
Yeah, I know my daughter makes a lot of these drinks that have, I think she says, have a lot of probiotics.
It might be kefir water or kombucha, something.
All that stuff. She makes all that stuff.
Does she ever offer you any of that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she does. What flavor are they?
Well, she makes peach and different flavors.
Peach? That sounds horrible. It is so horrible. I'm going to have to come over and try it, make sure it's safe for your consumption. Are you kidding me? That sounds like something you would drink on a hot summer day and say, oh, life is so hard. We're drinking this peach kefir water.
I'm drinking some of it right here by my swimming pool. Got my shorts on, the sunshine and all that.
You mean the sun's shining where you live? Wow.
Yeah, right here in White House.
Oh, man, I believe you totally.
Am I lying to you?
No, not at all. Listen, everything good and pure goes on in White House. Maybe not. No, I'm joking. Okay, so here's the things you're looking at.
Okay.
Sometimes I find it's very beneficial to give the element zinc, and I don't want to confuse you too much, but if somebody has, and I didn't say this a while ago, but I'll say it now, it may be that she has some type of a low-grade dairy allergy or dairy intolerance, which means if we took that away from her and just gave her meat and vegetables and fruit and maybe oatmeal and rice, it may be all of a sudden it's just magically clears and all of a sudden her skin looks beautiful.
Okay.
But I always want to remind myself, a lot of the skin is based on, I've heard it said before that God's perfect number is the number 7. Have you heard that before?
Sure, preached it before.
Okay, excellent. And you've also heard there's how many days in a week?
Let me see, count. 7.
7. You're smart. That was really fast.
Yeah.
But how many layers of skin do you have? 7.
Well, I would imagine 7.
7. That's our theme today, 7.
Yeah.
So if she does what I say for 7 years, 7 months, 7 days, and 7 hours, she'll be well. Can she hold out for 7 years? I'm joking.
Yeah.
But if you could just play along, though, sometimes when they consume dairy products, the skin builds up these dairy proteins in the skin, and then in turn the immune system says, hey, what is this foreign dairy protein doing here? And
right.
It sort of attacks your skin at the same time. Thus, you get this inflammatory reaction called eczema. But the skin is made of all these types of essential fatty acids, and so I think one thing that we could try very simply is we could try giving your granddaughter either evening primrose oil or blackcurrant seed oil. There's another one called borage oil, B-O-R-A-G-E, because they all contain a type of fat that's really hard for people with eczema to make. It's called gamma linoleic acid. And I know you agree that everybody is unique and different.
Right.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure thing.
Do you ever preach about sin from the pulpit?
Not only from the pulpit, also down where people are.
Do you ever call people to repent?
I sure do.
I think I like you.
Yeah, well,
I like you very, very much. So if you gave your granddaughter, if we did two things, number one, try coming off dairy for about 3 to 4 weeks. That's about the time frame it takes. Sometimes I can get a good result in about 10 days. Number next, if we could give her some either evening primrose oil or blackcurrant seed oil, that would be
how do you spell the first one?
The word this afternoon or this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's called primrose.
Primrose.
Yeah, let me spell it right here. P-R-I-M-R-O-S-E. Primrose. It comes from a flower called the evening primrose.
Okay.
And the other one that you can use that works very well also is called black currant. Or maybe it's currant. Sometimes they make jelly out of it. I've seen a currant jelly at the store. Mm-hmm. And so if you give her that, that's providing her a fat or essential fatty acid that she's probably having a hard time making.
Right.
And the other thing, there's two elements that I always think of when it comes to eczema. One of them is sulfur. Mm-hmm. I kind of discussed that earlier. And the other one is called zinc. And so there's a type of organic sulfur that you can buy for her at almost any store. It's called MSM, or methyl sulfonylmethane. And to the best of my knowledge, it's made from converting trees into paper. So it's natural. It's sulfur from trees. How about that?
Okay.
And so if you give her some of that, a little bit of zinc, then we might see a significant change in how her skin functions.
Okay. Well, I'll try to do that and get her, see how that affects.
Now, if this doesn't work, I have a plan B.
What's that?
We're going to take her to the River Jordan, and you and I are going to dip her seven never mind.
Hey, listen, I've been to the River Jordan, and I wish I had never been.
Because why?
My idea of my vision of the River Jordan is totally different than that little
You
stream
mean you had dirt. A completely different picture of what you saw?
Oh, yes. Yes. I was on the Jordan side of the River Jordan.
Well, if you had just walked about 100 yards down the bank, it would have all looked different, just around the corner.
Yeah, well, I was down close to the Dead Sea, but well, I'll tell you what, I just
you're getting close to Sodom and Gomorrah now.
Oh yeah,
that's why it looked that way. Hey, thank you very much for your phone call, and I wish your granddaughter the very best. Really appreciate
you,
man.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Bye bye.